Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Alrighty, welcome back, Mike and Mihailu. 4th of July episode, I guess. Right?
God bless America, yeah. Right?
You know, it's a real shame because these days in America, people want to talk about how much they hate America every day.
Isn't it nuts? I mean, it's the greatest country in the world. We're celebrating our independence, and yet people still have to politicize the 4th of July.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how angry you are or how much, you know, pent-up frustration you have. It's amazing to me that you can't see the fact that this country is still the greatest country in the world, whether we like certain things, whether we like the president, we don't. Look, Stefan, you and I will say it. We do not like Joe Biden. We don't think Joe Biden's doing a heck of a job by any means, but that doesn't mean I'm not proud to be an American. I very much am.
Amen to that. Yeah, the wife took the kids to one of the parades on 4th of July. I spent like 2 days working, just busting my ass in the backyard. God bless America.
Yep.
That's how I celebrated Independence Day. I got a really nasty message though over the weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, because I posted and I took the photo outside of my own house of the American flag, and it was just a beautiful shot, silhouette. And I basically said, you know, let's celebrate the greatest country in the world. And, you know, I included a passage from the Declaration of Independence. And then she's like, I'm going to cut off your penis. That was the message. That was it. So I shared it with my wife, and she starts cracking up. She's like, good, I'll give him our home address because you need to get a vasectomy because we got 97 kids and we got to. I'm like, no, she threatened to like, and she's like, good. So that was my 4th of July.
At least she didn't threaten to behead you. So you would,
right.
You know, so you'll still be here with us.
I'll just bleed out.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll say, Stefan, too, you know, this stuff, I don't know if you've seen it with Brittany Griner, the WNBA player that is not, you know, going to be back in America a lot, it seems, because she's stuck in a Russian jail right now. That just goes to show you how great our country is, doesn't it? Right? The country that these people say they hate so much, now she's asking Joe Biden to help her out, right?
Right.
And to me, you know, the rights we have in this country, you know, what she got in trouble for, I don't recommend it, bringing a, you know, hashish oil or whatever it's called to a foreign country. But let's be real. It's not that big of a crime, and she's been locked up in a jail for 6 months there.
Well, it's the same person who basically refused to come out of the locker room with the WNBA when right. The national anthem was being played, right. Despises police, despises America. And yet, of course, who does she lean on to get her out of a regime in jail?
Yep.
The United States of America.
Yep.
And, you know, and I studied overseas when I was at Syracuse University, and they were just crazy maniacal about the do's and don'ts because you are in a foreign country.
Yep.
Like the laws or not, they basically went down the checklist. Do this, don't do that. And so when it comes to her being incarcerated, you know what? You may not like the law, but you're in a foreign land. You have to respect their laws. Yep. But it is the irony of ironies how badly she despises America, hates America. Yep. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to write a letter to the president and say, please, America, get me out of jail.
Yeah. And guess what? This is the one country that can possibly make that happen at some point, right? We are the one country in the world that can possibly make that happen. And, you know, I just wish, I really do, hate Trump, love Trump, hate Joe, love Joe. You know, I just wish more people just, you know, had respect for their country.
And I don't understand that. And we're going to play our first clip shortly, how people use 4th of July, instead of having a cookout, instead of spending time with their family, they just melted down and took to social media about how much they hate America. And they were not kind.
No.
They were not kind about conservatives. They were not kind about basically what we think is the greatest country on earth, the United States of America. Let's listen in.
So my question is there a place we can move that people would be happy to have us, that we're not gentrifying or colonizing?
If you woke up in a good ass mood today, you put on your red, white, and blue, please go buy a gallon of gasoline, pour it on yourself, and then light that bitch up.
A pickup truck with an American flag attached to the back, speeding down a street, gives me pause.
I was driving around yesterday with my husband, and we kept seeing American flags everywhere for 4th of July. And am I the only one that Trump has ruined the flag for?
Really, I'm willing to do anything as long as it gets me out of this country.
Smell you later. Goodbye.
I love this too. It was one of my favorite things during the Trump presidency. The argument, Stefan, that, you know, we lost all our rights. We're going back to the 19 or the 1800. Like this country, this guy, he's just a racist. Who lost rights during the Trump presidency?
Correct.
I mean, did we go back to like women can't vote? Did that happen? Did I miss that during the presidency?
Not that I'm aware of.
Right? Like it's these people are just nuts. They're out of their freaking minds.
But even think of the economy though. Like we do. Whenever my wife and I are downtown, we always try to hit, I jokingly call it the reservation, because it's like one block where the Senecas have land. Yep. They can put their gas station. Yep. But like going to a regular gas station, she put in $10 and that basically gets us like 40 miles.
Right.
It's insane.
Right.
So all these people, you can hate the United States. You can hate Donald Trump. You can blame Donald Trump for all of your problems. But when he was president of the United States, we can afford gas. Yep. We can afford groceries. We can afford eggs.
Yeah.
We're living in a great time where we're not losing our rights.
Yep.
And we're certainly not losing most of the cash in our savings accounts and our 401ks.
And you got to wonder, obviously, it's probably media driven, right? We know that. But you got to wonder what these people hear and read and see to make them think that, like, the country is literally burning from the inside, that we are going down in flames. And everybody's going to be locked up into their house or never have the right to go vote again or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's truly remarkable that these people think the world truly is coming to an end.
Well, I was I am very proud the fact that I took a pre-master's program at Harvard, hence the H for the hat. And one of the professors basically said, we are all replaceable. And it was a way, because it was like elected leaders from all over the world that took this program. And he was basically like keeping us humble and knocking us down. He goes, you are all replaceable.
Yep.
If you left your government jobs tomorrow, yep, no one would make a difference. So it's, you know what? We replace the president of the United States every 4 years.
Yep.
I don't understand how radical progressives and the woke left get so angry. Yep. About Republicans, about President Trump. I don't understand how you're not a happy person, or you're just so bitter and angry based on who is sitting in the Oval Office.
And I'll say this, you know, people probably say, oh, you guys talk politics all day. Yes, we don't scream and yell and rip our hair out and threaten to burn the country down, though. We may have differences in opinion from the people in the White House or the people in Congress right now, but it's not I hate my country, it's going down, let's burn it down. Like, that's not the conversation we have, right?
I mean, I even remember visiting the White House when Barack Obama was president. And I remember telling our daughter, and she knew very clearly I was not a fan of Barack Obama's policies. But I said, you know what? It doesn't matter. He is the president of the United States. We're, yep, going to respect the office and respect the presidency. But it's getting so bad that these snowflakes melt down even at the sight of an American flag.
Oh, yeah.
Where they are like sucking their thumb in the fetal position, just overlooking at the American flag. I mean, this next clip, this person claims to get physically ill because they equate Old Glory and Donald Trump.
I looked at my neighbor and I asked her if she got a knot in her stomach when she saw the flag now. And she said, yes, she did. And I just attribute that to the insurrection. I attribute that to all the Proud Boy and white supremacist waving the flag high and just the Trump tards.
Trump tards.
A couple things. I love that we immediately go to the insurrection, right? Like that's it right there. The insurrection ruins the flag for you. And then, I mean, do these people know one white supremacist? They throw it out there like 85, 90% of people walking down the street are white supremacists. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Just because they don't agree with them politically, yeah, you're all of a sudden a racist, a raging anti-Semite. It doesn't really matter.
Well, according to some people in Buffalo, you are an anti-Semite.
That's true, because I called out the health commissioner, who happens to be Jewish, for basically stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from taxpayers. But how do you just get physically sick, according to that woman who, from our favorite Twitter handle, Libs of TikTok? How do you get physically ill thinking about Donald Trump and looking at the American flag? That is mental illness. That's where she's ill. She's mentally ill, not physically ill.
And if these folks, I'll say it all the time, if these folks spent as much time trying to better their livelihoods, better their careers, better their families, that they do crying and bitching and moaning about Donald Trump's presidency, we'd probably be in a lot better position as a country.
And we are the greatest country that ever existed.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I think of my grandparents who fled a communist regime. They fled Ukraine with nothing. When I say they left with nothing, they left their farm with nothing.
Yeah.
Survived a wheat famine, survived war, and gave me better opportunities than they ever would have imagined living under a communist regime. And if you work hard, through God's grace, hard work, you could do and be anything in this great nation.
This country sucks so bad, you get to walk around with an iPhone wherever you go. Right. You know what I mean? You get a free computer now in schools and high schools, right? Our country sucks so bad, you get so much free stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable that these people think that.
But you also have the freedom to get the hell out.
Right.
Why would you stay somewhere where you're not happy, where you're supposedly miserable about leadership, whether it's Republican or Donald Trump? You also have the freedom to get the hell out. So if you don't like America,
be our guest.
Smell you later.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I do see here, we have another one of our friends coming up here, Stefan, and the next clip.
Oh, the vice president?
The vice president. I do see I don't know the clip exactly right now, but I can see her smiling. So I can only imagine where this is going.
Of course it's her laughing. But, you know, again, speaking of, you know, gas prices, inflation, I mean, the Biden administration has no plan whatsoever to handle inflation, to manage inflation, lower gas prices. You know, their solution, according to their top economic advisor, is that we basically need to bend over and get in line with the new liberal world order.
To be fair, their other solution is just buy an electric car and that'll solve your gas problem.
Yeah, because everyone has an extra 70 grand in their savings account to buy an electric
car. They have a solution. It's just not feasible. Right.
But I mean, it's not drilling. It's not basically opening up leases here in the United States so that we're energy independent. The vice president of the United States, someone, she's on like this panel, and the woman was making a joke about how to make gasoline at home. People are so desperate. And she thinks it's funny, and she always goes back to her laughing as a defense mechanism. And listen to her reaction when this was even suggested.
I seen a meme the other day that said, me Googling online how to make gas at home. Okay.
Ooh, don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that.
Hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious.
I want to be on, or not be on the panel. I want to have a word with the people that created the panel that allowed her on the panel. I mean, really, why? And I'm not even kidding when I say this. How can that woman be on a panel about anything important right now? Seriously.
Or even just being in the vice presidency. She's like a caricature of a politician that basically says, okay, you're the VP. And what's so scary to me is that I firmly believe, God bless his soul, that Joe Biden has some form of dementia. It's not a joke anymore.
No.
There's no way he is 100% upstairs and has total control of his mental capacities. Kamala Harris, she is one heartbeat away from the presidency.
Yep.
That is going to be the person who's residing in the White House and who's leading our country. And I wouldn't want the Biden administration organizing a two-car funeral. I just wouldn't. They'd screw it up.
No.
And yet she's on this panel, and the pitch must have been, hey, okay, we know you got marbles in your mouth and you can't string together one coherent sentence. So when someone makes a joke about gas prices or talks about gas, just laugh. Just laugh. Because that's the state of our country right now.
And you know, you said incoherent, marbles in the mouth. Not who would have thunk it, because we knew this was going to happen with these two. But can you imagine 10, 20 years ago thinking we'd have two powerful people in our country, the two most powerful people in our country in the world, that can't together form a sentence, can't together talk seriously about issues in our country and in the world? You know, it's as bad as you could ever imagine.
But that's why our country is going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. I mean, elections have consequences.
Right.
People didn't like tweets, and there you go. You basically elected a senior citizen, God bless him, with dementia. And the result is a disastrous economy, soaring inflation, out of control gas prices, open borders. I mean, the good news is there are some shining lights across the country, and that the one being Ron DeSantis in Florida. And, you know, he actually signed into law the so-called Don't Say Gay bill, which nowhere in the bill does it say don't say gay.
Yep.
I mean, it is basically a bill that protects children. It stops teachers from indoctrinating kids about highly sexualized curriculum or about their personal lives. I mean, do you want your kids basically sitting in a classroom and having some teacher saying, hey, everybody, guess what?
I have a better question. Who wants to talk to kids about sex and sexualized
things? Not your own.
Yeah, but even my own. Like, I don't want to have that kid. Yeah, I mean, I don't care who they are.
Honey,
yeah,
it's time.
I mean, I don't care who you are. Like, I mean, it's just, it's not like you see some of these videos, Stefan, and we'll get to the DeSantis clip in a second. You see some of these videos of these nut jobs. I saw another one the other day, half naked, holding a little kid's hand, walking her up and down a runway. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
It's liberalism is mental illness.
You're insane.
But even the reaction to Ron DeSantis, and again, there's nowhere in this bill does it say, don't say gay, but he explains that the purpose is to protect children.
First, the bill prohibits classroom instruction about sexuality or things like transgender in K through 3 classrooms. And after third grade, those curriculums need to be age appropriate.
How do you argue against that?
I mean, you know, again, we're talking about K through 3 too.
Right. Young, we're talking 5-year-old kids, 4-year-old kids.
I don't have words to explain.
But why would a teacher, it's bad enough. I mean, think of like, again, I always go back to TikTok, whereas TikTok is run by the Chinese government and they have specific algorithms, as we heard from one of our guests earlier, from our earlier podcast, about how the Chinese government manipulates the algorithms in China so that those students hear productive, positive messages. Mm-hmm. And they flip the algorithm for the United States. We're hearing about suicide, highly sexualized innuendos and curriculums and things of that nature. So when it comes to the United States of America, our education system, for the most part, in states across the country, cannot compete with our foreign adversaries. Nope. I mean, do you think India, China, all of these other nations are focusing on either teachers sharing a highly sexualized curriculum or talking about these issues?
I mean, and again, we say it all the time, Stefan, it's unbelievable that this is the most important thing that these people think for our children's future, right? Like, again, you always say it, math, science, how about a class to, you know, talk about debt and not running your debt up, you know, your personal debt through the roof. How about that? That might be a good start, right? Maybe a class that says, hey, what are things that interest you for a future career for you? Instead of going to a gen ed college to just get, you know, I'll just take some class because I feel I need to go to class. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should be a tradesman. Maybe you should be in insurance. Maybe you should be whatever, a doctor. Like that's the stuff we should be making our kids do, not talk about, hey, you know, here's why I'm this way personally as your teacher, and you need to listen to me, and you know, you need to call me he, her, she, him, or what. I mean, that is not going to get our children, you know, ready for the world, I guess the best way to say it.
Well, and this is the Financial Guys Media Network, and financial literacy, for the most part, is not being taught in most classrooms across the country, where students now, they'll know their pronouns, but they don't know how to even balance a checkbook or open a checking account or save their money or not rack up credit card debt.
Stefan, one of the biggest things I've always talked about with kids too is understanding what student debt looks like and what that does to you and your career and your future. If you go away to school and we're in New York, right? Let's just say you want to go to USC in California. And you go do that and you go live there and you pay the tuition and the room and board and all the other things that come along with it down the road, like, you know, going out to eat with your friends, whatever. You might be talking about $250,000, $300,000 of student loan debt that you accrued in those 4 years. What does that look like when you go out and make $30,000 a year because you don't know what you want to do?
It's called living in your mother's basement and going on Twitter all day long.
Right. And then it's called never growing up, never being a productive member of society, and literally being a I hate to say it, a useless member of society for the rest of your life because you can't afford anything.
And that's why I think a lot of education systems do such a disservice when they don't talk about building trades.
Yeah, 100%.
My brother's an iron worker. I mean, for the most part, the training is, for the most part, free. You have a highly skilled workforce, no debt, and you're making as much as 6 figures at the age of 20.
Two of my best friends, one is a welder, does very, very well. And the other went to a SUNY college that he's a shipmate on a boat, and he's on 2 weeks, off 2 weeks every month of the year. Two guys that said, I'm not going to go to college. And it was a SUNY school, but it was a trade school essentially. Not going to go to college. I'm going to make the money I want to make, and I'm going to work the way I want to work. And that doesn't involve 4, 6, 8 years of college. It involved, in one case, 2 years of a trade, and another case, 6 to 12 months of a trade.
And if you take financial classes on the side or look up the financial guys, then maybe you could, hey, start your own business.
Right.
Grow from being a welder, being in the trades, and then building your own company.
Yep.
God bless America. And that's possible because of the country that we live in.
Yeah. And you can't look down at careers, I think, like the way trades get looked down at, right? They really do. They get looked down at like, oh, you know, who wants to do that? Well, there's a lot of people that don't, which makes the guys that do it and the girls that do it very, very wealthy, because they'll do it. They'll work their ass off till they're 50, 55 years old. They'll be retired while you'll still be crying and bitching and moaning about, oh, the world's unfair. We can't pay for it. I can't afford anything. Well, you did that.
Here at Starbucks, we got to form a union.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable. Exactly. Well, speaking of like liberals and semantics, President Biden, and the reason why we're playing this clip, because when it comes to semantics, and especially the issue of abortion, is huge, not just in New York State, but all over the country, obviously, about the overturning of Roe versus Wade. I mean, here in New York, it's sick how they're talking about turning New York State into an abortion tourism mecca, where they're going to be offering people from other states abortions to come here to New York. I mean, I cannot think of a more just sinister, sick thing to do. But it was just really interesting, because the left always talks abortion, and one of the ways they justify it or minimize the damage it causes when they say, well, wait a minute, that's not a baby. It's not a baby. It's a clump of cells. It's tissues. It cannot live on its own. And so right now we're going to hear, because President Biden basically disagrees with that entire premise that that baby is a clump of cells or things of that nature. Listen to what President Biden calls that baby in the womb.
I mean, so the idea that we're going to make a judgment that is going to say that no one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child.
Abort a child. That's exactly what President Biden called it.
Sorry, I got lost there. He just is all over. Like, he just can't just make one simple statement. It's got to be like he goes round and round to get to his point, which is what you just said. But he really, him and Kamala do this stuff on. It's really frustrating. They just go round and round and round. And maybe it's a lack of intelligence. Maybe it's a lack of understanding. Maybe
all of
it's, you know, it's really frustrating though, because this topic, if you're that passionate about it, Joe, you should really come out strong on it. Kamala, you should really come out strong on it. Not make a bunch of crap up and then expect everybody to follow your logic, because one day, and Joe Biden did this, how many years ago, Stefan, did he say, I forgot what the line was, you actually sent me the video the other day, about abortion not being right, and then all of a sudden now he's all for it, have to have it, got to do it.
Well, look at Kathy Hochul, what a hypocrite.
Yep.
Running for Congress and was county clerk, when Kathy Hochul was county clerk, she banned illegals from getting licenses in Congress because it was a red meat Republican district. A rating from the NRA, pro-gun, hitches her wagon to Andrew Cuomo, and then supports partial birth abortions, licenses for illegals, let's ban all guns. These politicians are absolute hypocrites. But can you imagine working for President Biden, though? Because you have a very specific message that should start from the White House and filters all the way down to spokespeople, department heads, members of the cabinet, because here is Biden's Health and Human Services Secretary, Javier Becerra. He went so far on the issue of abortion to saying that it threatens the life of the woman by limiting abortion, but mentions nothing of the baby.
The fastest route is to reinstitute that right that women had until five justices on the Supreme Court decided to use their authority in ways that deny millions of Americans the right to good health and perhaps even their life.
Their life.
Yeah.
Andy, so think about the liberal logic right there, where limiting or ending abortion is a threat to the woman's life. What about the millions of babies who have been aborted since Roe came into existence in 1973? Now, one mention of that.
Well, and the other thing I would say too is I think the left does a really, really, really great job of this, of using the very small percentage of things like rape and incest, like it's 95% of abortions, right? It's less than one for those out there who don't know. It's less than 1% of abortions are through rape and incest. And I don't know the stats, Stefan, but I'm going to assume it's very minimal of the number of abortions. That's because the mother's health is truly at risk, right? A lot of these abortions, folks, in case you're not aware, are people that don't want to have children and can't be responsible enough to take birth control and or wear a condom. So let's not forget that. I'm not saying that there's not rape and incest out there. I'm not saying that there's not women that are truly unhealthy and unfit to have a child, but these are not the majority of percentage like they make it seem.
And it seems like our country is just so screwy right now, whether it's the issue of abortion. Look at New York State and gun control.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord, of course, the Supreme Court rules that New York State cannot force someone to ask or give a reason or a justification for a concealed carry permit. So what does Kathy Hochul do? They bring back all these lawmakers. I mean, did you see some of the proposed changes? Yep. And it actually did pass one of the houses. You have to give up all of your social media accounts in order to get a pistol permit in New York State. You have to show people your social media. The kicker was the sign, though. They say that basically you have to post a sign in your establishment if you're okay with guns. And if you don't see a sign that welcomes firearms, then you could be charged with a felony for being armed.
So what's funny about this to me is the social media account thing. Like I actually understand, like, some of these, the guy yesterday, they said on social media that sadly shot up a 4th of July parade, right? There were signs on social media, but that's not what Kathy Hochul's looking at social media for. Kathy Hochul's looking at social media, Stefan, you're a conservative, no guns for you, right? Mike Spiraza, you have you work with the financial guys, you're on the radio show, you can't have a gun. That's what they're not looking for, just signs of people that are nuts, right? They're looking for people that they don't like and that they don't agree with. And that's part of that, which is what's very frustrating.
I mean, the reason why I carry a firearm is because of a death threat from an inmate, and I use that to protect my family. I'm also very careful about knowing the law, post offices, other locations where I'm not allowed to have a firearm. I have a safe in my car and it's locked, safe and secure where I go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so restrictive. You know, it's like those signs, those gun-free zone signs, where the way the law is written in New York State, you can't carry anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I feel as though that not only violates the Constitution, but what happens to some nutcase decides to come after me, my family, and this person put it in writing about the threat that I received. If there's some liberal lunatic that doesn't like the financial guys or your radio show, you have the right under the Second Amendment to protect yourself, but no longer in New York State. And that's why I cannot stress enough about the importance of voting.
And I was going to say, Stefan, it's funny talking about this. I was actually thinking this exact thing this morning about the shooting that happened and how sad it is and how terrible it is for those people in Illinois. Yet again, a state that has very restrictive gun laws and very tough gun laws. And it happens again in a state like that, just like it happened in New York. I do wonder sometimes if you mentioned the abortion mecca of the world, New York State, potentially. Does it ever feel like just let these states just run themselves into the ground and just move to a state like Florida, let New York, California, Illinois, let them absolutely implode? And then at the end of the day, we can be like, okay, how much more evidence do we need than that? Three of our biggest, cities in Chicago, New York City, and, LA, whatever city you want to use in California, and three of our biggest, states just crumble underneath themselves. Is that not enough proof, or will people not listen to that?
The problem is, we know the data. We know the facts. We know exactly how difficult it is from a business perspective, social perspective, living in New York State. But 99% of us are prisoners. And here's why we are trapped. And it's a blessing, but we don't want to leave because of our family.
Yep.
I've got amazing children, and it would break my in-laws' hearts if we decided to. And what we want to do, Ashley and I, we want to move to Florida.
Yeah,
we would go in a nanosecond and leave to Florida, increase our income by 10%, no state tax, live in sunshine 12 months of the year. But we are trapped because of family. And I think if it weren't for that, this state would see an even bigger exodus than we did post-COVID.
Yeah, and I think that's very true, and that's sad too. I mean, there's no winning, because I agree with you with family, but at some point it's just not worth it. I don't grade how great your family is. This state, if it continues to go the way it is, and if Hochul wins again here in November, it's very scary what it's going to look like here in New York State. If Newsom wins again, if all these people keep going and going and going, I don't know, Stefan. I don't know. It's going to be very easy for people like us to stay here.
Well, and that's why our job between now and November with this podcast and the Financial Guys radio show on Saturdays is to basically speak the truth, be a shining beacon of light on why conservative values are important, why elections are important, and encourage as many people to vote now that the Republican nominee is set in Lee Zeldin, because there are no excuses. Yet we know that New York State is a disaster, our economy, our gas prices, gun control laws. And if the people of New York State, even though it is the People's Republic of New York, especially with a heavy Democratic turnout, shame on us if we don't elect Lee Zeldin.
And real quick, we should hit on that, because the primary was last week, right after, I should say, we did the podcast. What are your thoughts? Is this set up nicely for Lee in the right, or is it still up in the air?
I thought it was a very convincing victory by Lee Zeldin. And I texted Lee right when the results came in of early voting. In New York State, you can tell it's like a bellwether for New York State, especially the town of Cheektowaga. And their percentages in Erie County, and especially Cheektowaga, usually in most cycles, are very similar to the statewide demographic. And as soon as the Erie County results were posted, I texted Lee and I said, it's going to be a good night. Your numbers are good for early voting in Erie County. And even though it was a minuscule amount of votes, you saw the trend and the percentage. And I said, it's going to be a good night. And he texted back like, really? Like, great. It was a very convincing victory. Yep. It's unfortunate that Zeldin had to spend the amount of money that he did on the primary, because now, you know, Kathy Hochul has been basically amassing her war chest, and Lee's been fighting other Republicans. But now is the best opportunity since Pataki in the early 90s of a Republican winning the governor's seat.
Well, I think there's two good things for Lee. Obviously, I really don't believe Kathy's a very strong candidate, first off. I think obviously she's in a blue state and she has a lot of votes just being in a blue state, but she's not really accomplished much as the governor. She's not very likable as a politician, right? Her history of waffling on every issue known to man, whether it be, like you mentioned before, the driver's license for illegals, whether it be the NRA endorsement that she had. I mean, she did have an opinion on abortion, too. That was not what it is today, correct?
100%.
So, I mean, you know, it's easy to pick her apart. Now, the question is will voters, you know, upstate, downstate, Western New York, will voters actually listen to both candidates and actually think logically about this election?
And I think the best way to wrap up the show is this one simple question. Whether you're across the country or especially here in New York State, it's a very simple question about how you're going to vote in November.
Yep.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And the answer is no, is absolutely not. You're going broke paying for groceries. You're going broke just to put food on your table. The economy is in the tank. Inflation is soaring. Yeah. So you know what? If you're not happy about it, go out and vote. Go out and vote for a guy like Lee Zeldin for governor in New York. Your local elections matter. Vote your conscience, but vote for the people who I think will turn our country around from the cesspool that it is right now. And those are Republicans and conservatives.
And the last thing I'll put on that is, especially we're speaking to a lot of New Yorkers when we say this, because a lot of New Yorkers are listening to us. We don't have a choice. We have to get out there. We have to fix New York, because if we don't, another 4 to 8 to 12 to 16, 20, whatever it becomes with the left, could really destroy this state for your family, for my family, and for a lot of you listeners. So think about that. Vote when you can. What is that? November or is it 8th? I believe.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's always the first Tuesday of November. But it's pretty simple, though. It's fight or flight. Yep. We stick around. We're fighting. And so we got to fight for our values. We got to fight for our state. We got to fight for our country, and do that by the ballot box.
If you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS. For Stefan Mihailu, Mike Sparazzo. We will see you guys next week.